Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Off the lakefront. Let's go. Man, is this going to be fun. Joining me now, Matt Derry, by the way, in for Ken and Anthony this morning, taking up until 11 o'clock. Our Browns beat reporter Daryl Ryder is brought to you by Scheib & Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl is with me right now. What's up, Daryl?
How you doing, Matt?
Daryl, how you been, buddy?
Been good. Ready for football season to actually start. Enough of this training camp nonsense. Let's play some games that matter.
Yes. Yes, Daryl. I like that. How they treating you up there in Berea, Daryl? Everything good?
Yeah.
They taking care of you? No one's snapping at you? Let's get to the good stuff. We can break down the team. I want to know how Daryl feels when he walks through the doors up there in Berea.
It's always a good time when you head out to 76 Lou Groza Boulevard.
Yes, I like that. I was listening to I think it was Stefanski's presser. I don't know, it was Tuesday or Wednesday, and you asked a question toward the end, and I was just waiting for Kevin to go, you know what, Daryl, I was hoping he was going to give you some love. He didn't do it.
No, that's okay. It's okay.
So we're here on Monday. What's the week looking like? What do you got today? And obviously, I know there's been questions about left tackle and right tackle. Is that still at the top of the list, or is it all Deshaun all the time up there?
It's mostly Deshaun, but the left tackle situation, obviously, is, I think, the number one issue going into this game. Jedrick Wills is still coming back from MCL surgery. Jack Conklin, who told us last week that basically he had the whole shebang done on his knee, ACL, MCL, PCL, meniscus work. He is, practicing again, and it just based on the individual portion of practice, because obviously we've been in regular season mode for about a week now, just based on the individual portion, it looks like that they are preparing him to play left tackle, which is something he played in college. Obviously, in the NFL, he spent all his time at right tackle. But if Jedrick Wills can't get back this week, and there seems to be a pretty good chance that that could be the case, it kind of feels like that's the next best option based on how the preseason went. It's part of the reason that they didn't put Deshaun Watson and many of the starters on the field for that preseason finale in Seattle when that was the original plan. There is no question Deshaun needs snaps, and I do kind of feel like this offense is going to take some time to get its footing.
It's interesting. I watched Jack Conklin play left tackle at Michigan State in college. He was damn good there. Yeah. This is not some gigantic move. Obviously, footwork and what you're used to playing on the right side. But like you said, he's also not really 100%. Starting up this season either. That's a concern against Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah, and for me, the concern is basically the health of the knee, right? I mean, that's, how is his body going to hold up here, coming off that surgery? So, you can say that just about anyone that plays the sport. So I feel like he is the best option. And look, it could go really well, and if it goes really well, maybe Jed Wills is the guy that has to come pinch hit off the bench. So we'll see how it goes, but I do like the idea of putting him at left tackle this week.
Do you get a sense that this could be one of those weeks where the Browns defense just has to do its thing and it's low scoring based on what you said? No Nick Chubb. Offense hasn't really played together much this training camp or preseason. And you have to work out some kinks and cobwebs where maybe it is a low scoring game and you got to rely on the defense to do the job on Dak and company, and you win a 16-14 type game.
Hey, look, you only need one more point than Dallas. That's how I approach this. It doesn't matter how you get it, right? As long as you win the game, and that's what it's about. And when you look at the way this schedule lays out, the early portion appears, at least on paper right now, to be somewhat favorable for the Browns to get off to another hot start. And quality starts has not been a problem under Kevin Stefanski. It seems like every year the Browns are 3-1, start the season 3-1. So I think that, you know, this is going to be a tough one. As Butch Davis would say, this is not going to be a walk in the cake for the Browns. Dak Prescott's really, really good. CeeDee Lamb, we'll see what he's able to do coming off that, holdout. And, contract extension. But, you mentioned Micah Parsons. He's their Myles Garrett. And he's certainly going to be trying to apply pressure. And, the number one concern that I have when it comes to Deshaun Watson and this offense isn't necessarily Watson's health, because I think the arm is fine. I think it's going to be that internal clock and how he handles the pressure that Parsons and that front seven of the Dallas Cowboys are able to apply to him. And, that is where, most of my curiosity lies. How does Deshaun Watson handle the pressure, and is it going to throw him off schedule enough to where the offense isn't able to be effective?
Darryl Ryder with us, Browns beat reporter here on The Fan. How do you think he'll do? From what you've seen in individual work, and obviously it wasn't out there, in the preseason, but how do you think Deshaun Watson will do? Will we see the Deshaun Watson from the Houston days?
I don't know. And that's, I think, part of the problem.
Yeah.
We don't know. He's only played 12 games with the Browns. And it's been since, 2020, since he's played a full NFL season. I honestly don't know what to expect from him. He had his good days at training camp. He had his really bad days at training camp. And I realize that's the case for a lot of quarterbacks. But the flashes of eliteness, just from my perspective, were not there in camp. That's not to say they can't return, but the offense was definitely the weak link during training camp, and they're clearly working things out. And I hesitate to be throwing out hot takes out there over that, because it's training camp, and that's what you're supposed to be doing in training camp, is working on things, seeing what works for you. So, but I don't know what to expect from Deshaun this year. I know what I want to expect from him.
Sure.
And that is him to look like a $46 million a year quarterback that the Browns gave up 6 draft picks to get in here, to not just get them to the playoffs, but to make them a Super Bowl contender. Because that's where I think we're at right now. This isn't about, you're just happy if the Browns can win the opener, win 5 or 6 games a year. The bar has been raised significantly, and that's a good thing. It's about competing for the division, which they haven't won since 1989. I don't think they're going to win it this year. I think the drought continues there. But as we've seen, you only need to get in the tournament. So you don't have to win your division to be a Super Bowl contender in the NFL. So that's okay. But my expectation is not only that this is a playoff team, but they win at least one playoff game. They at least get to the divisional round. I think those are fair expectations based on this roster, based on where they were a year ago, based on what Stefanski and Barry have been able to do since taking this thing over in 2020. I think that's fair and reasonable if you're a Browns fan. And that's kind of where I'm at with this organization right now. They're good enough on paper to be a legitimate contender in the AFC. But paper's one thing. They've got to go out there and show it.
It's interesting. Before you came on this morning, I started it off at 7 o'clock with this. Nobody's picking them to do that, Daryl. Nobody. Like, literally, most of the national folks, and look, there's folks here in Cleveland that like the team a lot, and I think you and I are on the same page on that. It's the number one defense. You get Chubb healthy. There's weapons here on offense, but like, yeah, nationally, it's crazy. It's Buffalo, Indy, Jared Bell from USA Today even had Pittsburgh as a wild card team. Please, come on. No, not with those two quarterbacks, but it is interesting that the Browns are kind of left out. They're kind of that last team out scenario right now because the AFC is so good. Does that surprise you?
No, and I'm quite fine with it.
Yeah.
I quite frankly hate when the national media comes to town and takes over Berea. So stay away. That's fine by me. Right?
But we hardly saw
those guys last year, and they won 11 games. We didn't see them really until late in the season when, you know, Joe Flacco became the number one story in the NFL, right, with what he was able to put. I'm all for the national media sleeping on the Browns and staying away. But I also understand why they're sleeping on the Browns and they're not really jumping on the bandwagon. I think the number one reason is just what we were talking about earlier, Deshaun Watson. Don't know what to expect from him this year. We know what we think we should expect, but I really can't tell you what you're going to see this year from him.
Dallas comes in, Daryl, Sunday. Everybody in Dallas, I was doing some prep this morning, is talking about their running back room and how they got the geriatrics in there with Cook and Zeke. What about the Browns running back room sans Chubb right now? How do you view it?
Yeah, I kind of view this as they're not going to run a lot, or they're going to pick and choose where they run. Because this offense is really built around Deshaun throwing the ball a lot. And that's fine. It's part of the reason they brought in Jerry Jeudy. You've got Jerome Ford, who's the number one running back, is very good at catching the football coming out of the backfield. And I think we're going to see a lot of that. They brought Dante Foreman back last week, as expected, after cutting him. They tried it something, anything for Tyler Huntley. That didn't work, but tip of the cap to Andrew Berry for at least trying to make something happen there. Stinks he ended up going back to Baltimore, and now I'm sure he's sharing all the secrets with the Ravens, but it's the NFL. Are there really any secrets?
That's right.
You know what I mean? So can't get too upset there. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think that this is going to be the dominating running attack that we have been accustomed to. With Nick Chubb leading the way, obviously Chubb's not going to be available until week 5 at the earliest, which is what I expected. I've been trying to tell people all off season, slow your roll. Yes, it's great. He's doing the squats and running and, you know, he looks like the Hulk again and all those type of things, but pretty significant knee injury he's coming off of for the second time in his football career, so he's probably not going to be ready for week 1, and he's not. So I kind of feel like that it's going to be picking and choosing the spots to run the ball and who has the hot hand. I think Dante Foreman's kind of the third down back, the short yardage guy, because he's really good in those situations. But, yeah, I really feel like that the run game is not going to be predicated on, well, Jerome Ford is absolutely the number one back. Yeah, he'll be the starter, but that doesn't mean that he's going to ultimately get those carries when it matters most, depending on how he's running on any particular day.
What about on defense? How do you like the matchup Sunday against Dak and the Cowboys? They've got some questions on their offense. They're starting a rookie at left tackle. That's a good thing.
Myles Garrett's drooling right now.
He should.
I mean? He's probably got the sack counter and the engraver standing by for the tombstones to put Dak Prescott's name on it a few times. But once with, a hash mark for every sack he's going to get on Sunday. But, I like the matchup a lot. I think that this Browns defense coming off the season they had, if they can learn to travel, because the home versus road splits were pretty significant last year. They played really, really well at home and not so great on the road. But I love the front four. JOK, I think has grown leaps and bounds, as evidenced by the contract extension he just got. I love this secondary. I think Denzel Ward is a top three cornerback in the National Football League when he's healthy. Martin Emerson might ultimately end up being Andrew Berry's best draft pick, and I say that realizing that Andrew drafted JOK in the second round. And, you know, Greg Newsome coming off this hamstring injury, but he seems ready to go for week one here. But I love this Brown secondary, and I think it's going to be a fascinating matchup trying to watch Dak Prescott pick them apart Sunday afternoon.
You mentioned the Newsome health. That's a big story. They need that lingered even last year some, right? I mean, they got to have him healthy.
Yeah, and it's just a freak accident. You know, he was working out at his alma mater, Northwestern, there before training camp, and felt something in his hamstring and didn't think much of it. He told us last week that he actually kept working out for a couple of days until he went for an MRI and found out he had a tear and needed to have the surgery. But he's out practicing again, and he looked great last week. Going through the drills that we were able to see, didn't really seem to have any limitations. So I think all systems are go for this secondary. Denzel Ward is out of the concussion protocol. So knock on wood, as we go into week one, they'll practice this this morning out in Berea. But as we go into week one, again, knock on wood, the Browns come in relatively healthy. Very rare you don't lose guys to season-ending injuries in training camp, key pieces, and the Browns were able to get through training camp without being with that, I should say, not being the case.
All right, Darryl, great work as always, brother. Thanks for coming on, my man, and have a great day today.
You bet, Matt. Take care.
Darryl Ryder with us, Browns a beat reporter all over. What is going on in Berea? He'll be at practice today, as he mentioned. Darryl mentioned a couple of things I want to get to coming up next, including Darryl saying what I was saying earlier. Why not raise the bar and win a playoff game and that be the expectation? Is that possible in your mind? We'll get to it next here on The Fan.